Move the minutes of the 318 meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, being none. Next up is House File 934. Chair will move House File 34. Be recommended passage of first to the House floor. There is an amendment to the AOA 1457 amendment. The chair will move that amendment. There is a minor change to that, just to make sure that we do it correctly. It's on line 1.1 of the AOA 1457 amendment. Delete the word second, insert the word committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, seeing none. That amendment is passed and part of the bill. Representative Clark, your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There will be a delete everything amendment, as I understand it now, but let me just give you a little bit of background on the bill. This basically is a bill that would have phased out toxic flame retardants here in Minnesota, and that's still what we do. And we've been down the road last year of taking out two types of flame retardants. What's left is what's called death after blood, and that is a flame retardant that is quite hazardous. And I know we don't have time to talk, Mr. Chairman, but we want to include that.
Absolutely.
We're doing that this particular thing is hazardous. It's been house dust. It's been, it affects little children and adults. And everyone who has been compromised and used to be infected, but it affects all of us and it's on all varieties. And I've been working with senior folks who really care about this, and I want to have a few moments of testimony. I just want to say that one of the strongest opponents of this legislation has been the Minnesota Professional Firefighters. We are very anxious that we phase out particularly the DECA because it does degrade when it is heated to the very toxic products that they have to deal with in the fire. I'd just like a little bit of testimony about why this is an important bill, and then we'll take the amendment.
Absolutely. Actually, the amendment is already on, Representative Clark.
It's already on. Okay.
So we'll take the testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Kathleen Schuler. I'm with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, where I'm a senior policy analyst. I'm also co-director of Healthy Legacy, a statewide coalition dedicated to safe products made safely. Last year, as you recall, we passed a bill that banned Penta and Octa in consumer products. We also asked the Pollution Control Agency to come back and report on DECA. The Pollution Control Agency produced a report which verified that DECA bromodiphenyl ether, a flame retardant, does degrade to more toxic forms. It is a pollution problem in Minnesota. It is found in our bodies. It is found in cord blood and breast milk, and it does affect children's development. Also, they affirmed the fact that we do not need DECA for fire safety, that the fire safety standards will exist regardless of which alternative we use. I'm just going to talk briefly about DECA, and then we can move on. What we were proposing this year was to phase out DECA in three different types of products. That would be the enclosures that are on televisions and electrical equipment, in textiles used in the home, and also mattresses used in the home. It isn't actually widely used in those products, but we're trying to prevent future use if the fire safety standards change. We are all widely exposed to DECA. If any of us were tested, we would find them in our body. We actually did a body burden study here in Minnesota. We had 35 people across the country and 5 people in Minnesota, including Representative Madure. And 34 of the 35 people had DECA in their body. They also had some of the other flame retardants. We're mostly concerned about children because they're developing, and these are developmental toxins. We do have information from animal studies showing that DECA can cause lifelong learning problems if there's an early exposure. Are there safer alternatives? Yes. Most of the electronic companies, including 95% of the computer companies, and the vast majority of the TV companies are now phasing this out. So the handwriting is on the wall. We have 2 states that have already banned it, Maine and Washington. As far as use in mattresses, most mattress manufacturers are not using DECA, and those that are also phasing it out. I'd just like to close with mentioning a quote in your PowerPoint from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency affirming that existing fire safety standards are not going to change. We're just asking that safer alternatives be used to DECA CDE, which is a widespread pollution problem in Minnesota. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schuler. Is there anyone else who desires to testify with respect to the bill? Are there questions or concerns from members of the committee? Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've not had really a chance to go through all the amendment, and I just had some folks from the public safety sector just kind of mention some concerns. Are we going down a similar path to what they've done in Wisconsin or Washington with regard to are we doing a study? And then, so that's kind of one question. And then the second question is, it seems what is more of a comment. It seems what they're doing makes a lot of sense until we kind of have an alternative for public safety. I mean, I'm just not certain because what I was presented said that we did not have an alternative. So.
And actually, I can take that question. Representative Lilly, the amendment, this has obviously been a lot of things moving at a rapid speed. That's exactly what the amendment does do. Is that there will be, once there's reasonable cost-effective alternatives that are available, then the ban would be possible. But that's what's going to happen first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Clark.
Are there other questions for members of the committee or other testimony? Otherwise, the chair will renew his motion that House File 934 be recommended passed as amended to be sent to the House floor. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Representative Clark, thank you for all your work, and I appreciate your efforts to find a bill that works and is based on sound science. We wish you the very best as you move forward.
Thank you.
Next up, Representative Gardner. I was wondering where you were. There you were, right behind Representative Clark. The chair will move House File 3477 be recommended passed and referred to the House floor. There is a delete all amendment. The chair will move the delete all amendment, which is titled 3477DE3. That's put it in the shape, Representative Gardner, with which you desire to proceed. All in favor of the three amendments, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Representative Gardner, your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was drawn to this issue related to manufactured homes, not because I have large homes in North Oaks, as I do, but also because I have 600 households in my district where people live in manufactured homes. And I believe that we have, on the last line of the amendment, Valley, comma, piece in the, and I'll let Mr. Elwood from Legal Aid lead you through that.
Well, let me do this, Representative Gardner. I do have some folks that need to leave because this is the final day before the break. Is there anyone here to testify in opposition to this bill? Are there any members of the committee that oppose the bill? Seeing none, the chair will renew his motion that are you here to testify?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Then in opposition to the bill?
No. I believe
all right. But if you all want to, all right, that's what I want to hear. Just we'll get clarity. Mr. Elwood, if you got brief comments, we're happy to hear them.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ron Elwood, Legal Aid. Just want to thank Representative Gardner for bringing the bill. Thank the Manufactured Home Park Owners Group for working so closely to get a bill that we're all pleased with. The bill does basically two things. It increases the time within which a manufactured park homeowner can reinstate after a default, and second of all, provides protections against predatory lending practices similar to what we did last year in the mortgage arena. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. Mr. Brunner, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mark Brunner, Minnesota Manufactured Housing Association. And I want to thank Representative Gardner for working with the industry on made significant progress on the bill, something that's very workable and actually makes sense for manufactured homes that are not financed as real estate, which is about 85% of all manufactured homes that are sold, but there are the 15% that are financed as chattel, and the bill specifically addresses those types of loans. We do have agreement on what's before you. However, I do have a couple of questions, and I did raise these earlier with Mr. Pender, just regarding another section of law that currently requires licensure for finance companies that make installment loans on manufactured homes, and related to the prepayment penalties that apply to those types of loans, and that's because there is also a prepayment section in the bill, and I was seeking some clarification on which applies in terms of making loan, and then the other section deals with finance, interest points, finance charges and fees in Chapter 53, C.09, and that's again in the bill. I'm just wondering
what a lender does when there's a conflict between the two.
Okay. And I think what we'll do is, we'll, unless Mr. Sender is immediately able to address that, we're going to lay this bill over for a little while, and we'll move on. So thank you. The next file before us,
Mr. Chair, just, by layover, do you mean sometime within the hour or so?
5 minutes.
Okay.
But I don't like putting folks on the spot, Mr. Cash.
Chair Atkins moves that House File 4007 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. We have your bill report, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm so proud to actually have a bill with no amendments. After yesterday's...
Chair, I'd like to move
it. Yeah, of course you would. Folks, all this is it says that, well, you can read it, for that matter. It says that scrapyards can only take beer kegs for manufacturers, brewers, or their authorized representative. What's happening is the cost of a beer keg is the deposit that you have to put down is going higher and higher, because what folks do is they get the beer keg and they take it and they scrap it. They melt it down for the, because the price of the metal is actually worth more. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for the industry. And with that, I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any questions in the audience? Representative Gardner, do you have some comment? You seem to have some expertise in recyclables. Okay. Any questions up here? Seeing that none, with that, Chair Atkins renews his motion that House File 4007 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Your bill passes.
Thank you, Chair members.
Representative Gardner, maybe to come up and be ready, and I think they're working on language for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say that the theft of beer cakes has actually gone down recently because of the scrap metal legislation passed last year, but this Representative Atkins bill helps even more.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you. Representative Gardner, have you had much feedback from the scrapyards on the bill you passed last year and the direction that it's taken us?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, actually have talked to several scrappers in the metro area and local law enforcement. I know in the 4th Precinct, which is kind of the bellwether of where the scrap metal theft situation has gone, it's actually gone down since the rule has gone into effect in October. But I haven't heard from anybody in greater Minnesota, and if they had any comments, I'd certainly be interested in hearing it. So next year, if we need to make any adjustments, we can do that.
Well, to that point, Mr. Chair, I have a couple of people that have been kind of concerned about the thresholds that we put as far as the payment structure, and I think they have to write checks, and if I remember right, it was part of it. And they're having people come in with such a limited amount of scrap, and the responsibility for them, the cost of doing it is, they think, quite frivolous on the amount of the business. So there were some concerns, I think, in the rural aspect to get just a threshold of maybe $50 or $100, and I don't remember what you had in the bill.
So. Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, I actually did have a $75 threshold, and the Senate author was interested in zero, and she was on the conference committee and prevailed, so you may want to take it up with the Senate author. I was interested in that, too, because people do come in for $2.50 or what have you, but it doesn't apply for cans.
Right. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that has questions or concerns? Representative Gardner, what I would suggest, Mr. Bruner, if I could get your attention for a minute. Mr. Bruner, here's what I'd recommend that we do. We do have folks, if we want to be able to move this bill, it's my understanding, because I've got folks, as you can see, we're losing folks by attrition with every passing minute. It's my understanding that there's an agreement to the language of the bill, but there is a question or two. And I would rather than have Mr. Pender be put in a spot where he's going to have to answer the question, given 6 minutes to review the statute with you, my suggestion would be that we pass the bill if parties understand that there's an agreement, but there's still some questions. We pass the bill, we move it off. If those questions aren't addressed, then make everybody aware that they're not addressed. But I'm assuming that there'll be a satisfactory answer to them. And if there's not, you'll raise a big stink that there's not. So with that, the chair will renew his motion that House File 3477 be recommended and passed as amended and be sent to the House floor. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. With that, folks, that's the chair. Thank you, Representative Gardner and Mr. Elwood, Mr. Bruner. We appreciate your efforts to get to an arrangement that works for the parties involved. That concludes our agenda. That concludes our work before deadline. We do have a hearing or two after. I'll get an email out to folks. I think April 1st we may have a hearing on STOLE issues, just to give people sort of an overview of those issues. But otherwise, that concludes our work. Thank you to all of the staff, in particular, that work so hard. We come here and we talk and so forth, and we think we're great, and that's important, but they do all the real work, and they help here till 1 in the morning and so forth, and work in the weekends, and we appreciate that. With that, we stand adjourned.